to you all, but to every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended, the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that we might feel all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, until perfect man, into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And this last verse that I want to read, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Amen. We'll just stop there in our reading for tonight. I want to start here at slide number 7, and we'll just look at some key statements. We're moving into a different area here of the scripture, and thank you for being blessed. And I like that. I'm already just in study, and I've just been enjoying, amen, my time in it. But let's just get started here and just trust that the Lord bless us. This first statement says there's only one church that is not a denomination. You can't denominate God's church. Now that's a powerful statement. I want to tell you, when it comes to this message, I've seen people try to denominate the message. I've watched it for the years that I've been a part of this. I've saw different groups that kind of rise up. Somebody come with some unique view or revelation, and it's hard for me to call it revelation, because when God gives revelation, nobody has a copyright on revelation. Mm-hmm. Right? Nobody has a copyright on it. And I've seen people try to get a copyright on revelation and feel like they're a little different than everybody else. And then this denominational spirit just kind of gets started. Can't fellowship with this because they don't believe what I believe, and you know, all that kind of stuff like that. And anytime you see one of those spirits rise, I've always seen that it comes crumbling down. Typically, when the person that started it, the person that, you know, was promoting this revelation, when they go off the scene, you just start seeing this the churches in shambles, right? Because it wasn't built on the right foundation. I feel like a church should be able to continue to move on if the past is not able to carry on. Right? That, to me, that's a very healthy church, when you have a church that can keep moving forward when the past is not able to, whether he is ill or whether he's just been called home by the Lord, but they're still able to move forward. That to me is a healthy church. And I want to go a little further. I think that's the church that Jesus built. Right? When Jesus left the earth, he had those disciples ready to keep moving forward, right? So it's very important that we understand this. The true church of God cannot be denominated. It can't. You can't denominate God's church. Hallelujah. I want to, those words mean a lot. It's God's church, not man's church. Not Brother Jack's church or any other pastor's church. It's God's church. And you cannot denominate God's church. It says there's one church, one body. That body is the mystical body of Jesus Christ here on earth. And he says, and by one spirit we're all baptized into that one body. That's the scripture, you know, that tells us that. All right, this next statement, it says, you might have a faith, but we want the faith, right? Not just a faith, but we want the faith earnestly contend. It said, let's argue for it. Standing, stand up for, earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And your faith has got to be worth arguing for. Amen. Sometimes it might require that. You have to let people know exactly where you stand. You know, sometimes when you're explaining where you stand, I'm going to tell you that it's okay for you to say, I might not know all the answers, but I know what I believe.
All right.
It's okay to say that, right? I mean, you got all these questions, and sometimes people ask the questions to try to trip you up. Mm-hmm. And actually, Paul actually told us that we need to avoid foolish questions, right? So if you know somebody's kind of maybe trying to get into your spirit, just tell them, I might not have all the answers, but I know where I stand. Amen. I look like you don't want to look confused. So just keep going to God and let God reveal it to you. Amen. But I love that. You might have a faith, but we want the faith. The faith. All right. This next statement says, what was the test? They all drink in the same rock. They all eat the same spiritual manna as we're eating this morning, and I can say tonight. But the word test proved them. The word test prove them. We'll get into that a little bit later on, but that's very, very important. You know, oftentimes, you know, people will look at other faiths, let's put it that way, and they'll see that there are some people that might get very close to how we dress. How we, you know, we don't wear this, we don't wear that. Sisters, you know, don't wear pants and makeup and all of that. Sisters not doing that. So there's a lot of, there's Pentecostals that do the same thing. They do the same thing. They're no different, you know, than what we're doing. There's a certain amount of holy standard. Like I told you before, most of the people that baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ are the ones that are typically able to hold the holiness standard. That's my observation, right? Most ones that's able to baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are able to hold that holiness standard. But, you know, oftentimes you're going to church, you're not just looking at, you know, just how everybody dress. That's not the final thing, right? Yes, that's part of it, but it's the word that is coming forth. That's the final thing. What's the word that they're preaching? And sometimes, you know, you can get real close, and I think what you do is you start asking people about, you know, Malachi 4, Revelation 10, what's their position on things like that. You'll find the word test shows that they might not be looking at the fullness of the scriptures. Amen. All right. This next statement says, one faith, one Lord, one baptism. You can't have one faith without believing in one Lord. You can't have two baptisms, not one for the Father and Son and Holy Ghost. There's one baptism. And Brother Ram said that's Jesus Christ. So one Lord, one faith. One faith, one Lord, one baptism. And we'll be getting into that in a little bit. I tell you, I'm really looking forward to that. A lot of times I'm sitting at home and I'm studying. I'm thinking, you know what? Some of this is going to be very basic, but I find that it's very, very important to go back over the basics.
That's right.
And not only going back over the basics, we want to take what I would call an in-depth
view.
Mm-hmm. Right? This Bible study. So we're going to get our Bibles out, and we're going to read why we believe what we believe.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Right? We're going to pull it from the Bible. I advise you, bring a notebook. Mm-hmm. Bring a notebook.
That's right.
Write down scriptures. Yeah. So that when you run into something, and file it somewhere in your Bible, put it somewhere where you can get to it real quick. So when you run into somebody, maybe you're witnessing to something like that, you'll have something you can go back to and look at,
yes.
Right? So it's going to be very important. We're going to be taking a little time on this chapter. I'm going to just let y'all know.
Good.
But it's going to be a blessing.
Amen.
Amen. Here's this last statement, amen, that I want to bring up here. And now in this last age, we have come back to the capstone revelation, the most important revelation of Godhead in the whole Bible, And that is, Jesus is God. He and the Father are one. Amen. There is one God, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Very important to know that we've come back to that, and we have to contend for that. We have to fight for that. Oftentimes, especially in today's world, everybody feel like they obeying the Lord Jesus by being baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. First thing I tell you, Jesus said it. Yes, he sure did say it. And ain't no way Peter got it wrong just 10 days later. Ain't no way. Why would Peter come back and say, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? And, you know, and I remember brother told me, yeah, Peter just got it wrong. I just hard for me to see Peter had it wrong just 10 days later after Jesus said it. Now, Peter had a revelation of what Jesus was speaking. Amen. The name of the Father, the name of the Son, the name of the Holy Ghost is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're standing on that revelation. All right. Let's go back and just look at, we're focusing on verse 4 tonight. But I do want to read verse 4, 5, and 6. And I was just noticing this. I was reading something somewhere, and they kind of brought this out that I thought was very, very good. Actually, it's right here in my Bible. Just one of the notes in my Bible. There is one body. Here in verse Ephesians 4:4, there is one body, one spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Let's go back to verse 4, and let's just do something here really, really quick. Amen. I just thought this was, I don't think I ever caught this before, but it's there. There is one body and one spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling. How many times do you see the word one in that verse? Three. Okay, let's go to the next verse. Just keep that three in our head. Verse 5 says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. How many times do you see?
Three.
Okay, and then let's get to verse 6. One God and Father of all, who's above all and through all, and then you all have the time to see the word one. We got seven ones in these three scriptures, right? And so there's something significant, number seven is a number of completion. And so something significant here that we want to just spend time and just really, really dwell on, all right? Now, this first verse, verse 4, says there's one body and one spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling. Let's look at this a little deeper. Here on this slide, a quote here that I put with this, just so it's all one great, perfect coming. It's all one great, perfect God. It's all one great, perfect Christ. One great, perfect church. One great, perfect redemption. Everything. It comes a trinity, but it's all in one. See, it's not three people, not three this, it's just one person. One church, one body, one Christ, one Lord in you all, and through you all, and so forth like that. All one. Amen. All one. Now let's look at this. I got a quote coming out of the Token. Brother Branham makes some statements here, and he says, we're going to read some scriptures here in a second. It says, when it come time for the great wrath of God to fall there come two ducks, male and female. Here come two geese. He was talking about when they were gathering into the ark here. It says, male and female, here come two horses, male and female, something another pulling them. The predestinated, the rest of them perish. Oh, the rest of them perish. But those who felt that tug to come in, they know that ark was prepared. Can you imagine? Talk about these animals that was predestinated. Can you just imagine? Because there's some animals that travel in packs, right? They travel in packs. But can you imagine some of the animals that was traveling past, just two of them just kind of felt led?
Oh, yeah.
You know, that, I don't feel like running with y'all. It's something pulling me, and give me that baby, whatever language they talk, talking in their language, like, what you doing? And I just feel like there's a tug, there's something pulling me over here, right? And just imagine, you know, Brother Graham just called me, that was that predestination that was inside those animals that go run to the ark of safety. The other ones that never felt that tug, never felt that pull, they perished. They perished. Amen. So the rest of them perished, so the rest of them perished, but those who felt that tug to come in, they know that ark was prepared. It was a token that there's coming a rain. They know there was coming a rain. Says, no matter what the display was and what the other people thought, they know there was something inside them said, get into there right quick. Get into there because that's the only place that's going to be safe. Because God prepared a prophet. He sent the ark as a sign, said, get in there. The rain was coming, and they went right in there two by two. All the animals went in two by two in the ark because they needed, no matter what the rest, and all the outside of that ark perished. It goes on and says, all outside of the token of the blood perished. Everyone outside of the token of the Holy Ghost will perish, no matter how good. How much church members there was, a lot of them in the days of Noah. Now, can you look at that statement? Brother Graham said there was a lot of church folk in Noah's day. A lot of church folk. And the scripture actually tells us that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. So there's a lot of church folk today. And one of the big questions that we all often hear, why would God just destroy all these other people, you know, and only just take a few? I mean, they don't even know the truth. Well, I mean, I think many people actually get an opportunity to hear the truth. Mm-hmm. Whether they accept it or not, that's a different story. Hallelujah. And I'm going to just tell you, I'm going to be very plain with you. Typically, the person that is asking that question, they have been exposed to the truth and don't want to walk in. Right? And so if you've been exposed to it, don't want to walk in it, how do you know these other people have not been exposed to the truth and don't want to walk in it? Same thing it was in Noah's day. They was exposed to the truth, but didn't want to walk in that truth. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Let's keep reading. It says, there was a lot of them in the days of Noah. There was a lot of them in the days of Moses. But a man that failed to apply the blood as a token, he perished. Those who fail to go into ark perish. Those who fail to come into Christ, for he is the ark. 1 Corinthians 12 said, by one spirit we're all baptized into one body. The mystical, not church, but the mystical, not the denominations, the mystical body of Jesus Christ. By one spirit, S-P-I-R-I-T, we're all immersed into this one body. Then the token is on the door, for you are in Christ, and he was the one, your sacrifice, who stood to judgment. And when God looks upon that, he can't do a thing. You're just as safe as you can be, because God in Christ is the self-same person. The Spirit been made flesh and dwelt among us, and there is God with his own self, and you, his own children, into the body. There you are, not a chemical, but the Spirit I will pass over you. See, by one Spirit we're baptized into this body. All right, let's go on this next quote here out of the message. It wasn't so from the beginning. It says, well, people say I'm Presbyterian, I'm Methodist, I'm Baptist, I'm this, I'm that. That's all right, but let's go back to the beginning and see where it started from. See what it was at the beginning. That's the way God set his church up on the day of Pentecost. That's the way it's to forever remain. That way, if you cross anything else up into it, denominations and all these other things and sprinkling and all these forms and things, you hybrid it. You got a better looking church, but ain't got no life in it. It can't reproduce itself again. Says the revival come forth in the days of Luther. It cannot reproduce itself. Cannot reproduce itself because they hybrid it. The days of Wesley, they cannot reproduce it. Tell me one of them ever raised when they fail. When they hybrid the church, it goes right back again. It's done. It can't reproduce itself. It can't It can bring members in, make an organization, but it can't reproduce itself again. What we want is something to reproduce, to bring sons and daughters to God. You can't do it from a seminary. It's got to come from the Holy Ghost above, like a rushing, mighty wind. Like it did at the beginning, and he says, hybrid religions, perverting things, changing things, men perverting, and when Jesus comes in his days, he said, in vain do you worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Now, that to me is very important. A lot of folk going to church and worshiping the devil while they doing it, and don't even realize it. I mean, when Jesus told them, that, yeah, y'all are religious, but in vain you worship me. Same thing is happening all over again today. In vain, people are worshiping. Now, folk don't like to hear that, but that's right in the Bible. God is looking for somebody who's going to worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. Look at this. He says, in vain do you worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of man. What have they did? They've taken the commandments of God and hybrid it to their own ideas and have brought it back. And it said, thou shalt not, and thou shalt this, and so forth. But they with their traditions, make the commandments of God of no effect because they had hybrid it. Now, I'm going to just inject something here before I go further in that quote. You know, I've actually seen this. Excuse me. Preacher that I know, he was on the radio, and they wanted to do like a little talk thing, and they asked him a question about, you know, Christians having tattoos. Mm-hmm. Now, I knew in the Old Testament that it told us not to have any markings at all on our body. That's what Old Testament said. It was so clear. But this fellow began to explain that, you see, that was the Old Testament. And, you know, we're not under the law anymore, but we're under grace. And then he went on a little further and said, you know, even in Revelation, Jesus, you know, came out of the sky riding a white horse with the word of God written on his thigh. I say, oh my goodness, this man done released this, done told all the Christians that it was okay for them to have a tattoo because Jesus was going to have one. I say, now, Jesus ain't going to break the word like that. If he wrote it as a law, why do you think he's going to come? Jesus didn't come to yes. minimize the law. He actually magnified the law.
Right.
Right? And you know, so you hear things like this from these preachers, and this is why folk go to some of these churches, because that's what they hear. They don't want to hear the Leviticus scripture. They don't want to hear that. Right? And so when you give them that, they're not coming back anymore. You know, but nonetheless, the truth is still the truth. You know, but you have people out there hybridizing the word. It's making it have no effect at all. And this is what's creating the weak church that we have today. It's a very, very weak church. People's confessions are weak. Amen. Their repentance, weak. Because when you repent, you're really telling God that you're sorry for the sin that you committed. Not only that you're sorry for it, but you're not going back to commit it anymore.
That's it.
But it's so weak that they get up from that, just some words out of your mouth, just confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. But what about live right? After you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, a lot of them just ain't been able to come to that point yet. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's keep going to this quote. It says, people wonder today how these things take place. How can a person stand and look out across the audience and draw a man or a woman and reveal the sins and things of the church? What's the matter? Why ain't all the churches doing it? Now look at that speech. Brother Ray say, why is discernment not happening in all the churches? That's something we should look forward to. That's something we should desire, that discernment would happen right in our midst. If something ain't right, God discern it. So that we'll get it right. They had it in children of Israel's day when Joshua and the children of Israel were going across fight. They had a discernment. God gave them a discernment to figure out what happened with this guy that, Achan. Mm-hmm. Right? We need discernment like that in the church. Oh, glory. All right, it says, why aren't all the churches doing? They're hybrid, that's right. There's only one church, and that is not a denomination. You can't denominate God's church. There is one church and one body. That body is the mystical body of Jesus Christ here on earth. And by one spirit, we're all baptized into that one body. Whether we're Methodist, Baptist, or Catholic, or what, no matter what a man's denomination is, if he's dependent on his church for salvation, he's lost. If a Catholic is dependent on the Catholic church to save him, he's lost. If a Baptist is dependent on the Baptist church saving him, he's lost. Pentecostal is dependent on the Pentecostal church saving him, he's lost. But if those individuals are relying on God and on Jesus Christ by faith, are you saved? And that, not of works, but of grace. That mystical body that Brother Branham uses that term, I just kind of did a quick little search and found out that it just means like a mystical union of all Christians into one spiritual body, and our head is Christ. Our head is Christ. As Christians, we are all a part of one body. As Christians, we're all a part of one body, right? And our head is Christ, for our head is the Word of God. That's what governs us, the Word of God. Not somebody's opinion, not somebody's ideas, not somebody's thoughts, but what does the Word of God say? When you are talking with somebody, trying to encourage someone, give them the Scripture. Mm-hmm. Amen. And then if sometimes you got to watch, because a person that might not know Christ, might not have been a Christian for a long time, people are able to take certain Scriptures and twist them.
Right.
And actually bring you subject to things that you don't have to be subject to. Amen. That's why it's good to come to Bible study so you can understand what the Word of God is telling you. You know, and you got to have your own revelation for yourself, because people can twist things up in order to push their agenda towards you. But the Word of God is what should govern us. Now, I wanted to go back, since we're a mystical body. And here in Ephesians 4, it says there is one body, one spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling. I just felt to go back and look at a couple of scriptures. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. This is very, this is a quick reference for when we're talking about the body. Amen. 1 Corinthians 12. I just going to read, starting at verse 1. I think it's very important that we get this. It says, now concerning the spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that ye were Gentiles carried away into unto these dumb idols, mm-hmm. even as you were led. Mm-hmm. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. That no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. You can't even call him Lord until you've been filled with the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Amen.
Come on,
amen. Right? It says, now there, and the reason that you can't call him Lord, I mean, Lord means ownership, rulership, right? Control. And if Jesus is your Lord, then you're going to be controlled by what he says in his word. Amen. Right? Last week I came, I just read right out of the Bible. These are, again, basic things. I read from Colossians, I believe. And these are things just right there in the Scripture that we all we have to do is follow it. Amen. Hallelujah. So it says, no man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And that just blesses me, you know. And this is why when it comes to anything you do for the Lord, it should never be a competition.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Never competition. All of us are built differently. Amen. We respond to things differently, right? And God made us that way for a reason. But when it comes to doing anything for the Lord, I used to tell this to the musicians. When they first start, I say, you know, it's like I can give everybody a sheet of the same picture on a sheet of paper, and we give them a box of crayons, and let's say, you know, it's a flower on a sheet of paper. Somebody gonna
go in their crayon box, they're gonna get brown and yellow. And color that thing brown and yellow. Somebody else can give them a crayon box, they're gonna color it orange and green. And another one gonna get it, gonna go blue and white. And I mean, it's just what you have in your mind as to what you think that should that flower should be. Right? And the thing of it is that nobody's wrong. That's just who God made you. And that's what comes out of you. So when it comes to, you know, when it comes to playing music, like, you're going to have your own style.
Right. Yeah.
Right? You're going to be you. And you ain't got to worry about trying to be nobody else. When it comes to singing, you're going to have your own style.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. When it comes to preaching, you're going to have your own way of approaching, amen, how to present that sermon. But everybody got to be themselves in order to be effective in the body. Understand, the scripture tells us it's only one spirit, right? It says there, the Bible says in verse 5, there are differences of administrations of the same Lord. The differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Oh, my God, my God, my God, my God. God creates us all differently for a reason. And he gives us, you know, just these different talents that we give back to him. It's all for his glory. It's all for his honor. But here, let's keep reading. It says, and there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. Mm-hmm. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit. Who? Profit who? It's to profit everybody else with all, right? To profit with all. Here it says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. It says, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now, Paul is starting by talking about all these spiritual gifts, right? These spiritual gifts. And Brother Bradley tells us that this is supposed to be in every church. Hallelujah. Brother Bradley tells us the spiritual gifts are supposed to be in every church. So if he tells us that, we ought to try to get it lined up according to the word, but we ought to see it manifested in the church. Glory to God. I don't think it's just something that was just in Brother Bradley's church. No, if it's the same Holy Ghost, it's also supposed to be in our church. Amen. Just got to be governed by the scripture. That's all. But here, you know, he's starting off by talking about these spiritual gifts, but now he's going to take it to a natural type so that we understand, you know, about the body. Now let's look at this. Verse 12 says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body. So you're not even in the body unless you got the Holy Ghost. Amen, church. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. All right. See, when you got the Holy Ghost, it, you know, the Word can govern you. The Word can actually convict you and bring you, you know, subject to Him, to the Word, right? For by one Spirit, we're all baptized in one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles. Now, I can just stop right there. That just actually knocks out our cultures.
Yeah.
You can't come in the body and talk about, I'm from so-and-so. No, I don't care what country you're from. That ain't really where you're from anyway. Well, I'm American. You know, this. No. What you is, you come from God. And you're supposed to be going back to God. Right? So your culture ain't got nothing to do with this. This actually supersedes your culture. Glory to God. Amen. For by one Spirit we're all baptized in one body, whether we be Jew or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free and have been all made to drink into one spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. And I will say this sometimes, and I've seen it, you know, if we're not careful, we're trying to bring our cultures into this message, mm-hmm. we'll have the message so messed up. I've seen it where people brought the culture into the Bible. I was reading the scripture with some brothers, and they had a Bible where it was going from French to English or something like that. And I just had an only English version. So they were telling me about this one scripture and why they did a certain thing a certain way. And I said, wait, now show me that in the Bible. And they went to read the scripture. I said, hold on. What Bible are you reading from? What Bible are you reading? This right here? Is that KJV? Because in my Bible, it say this. And say, based on what I see in my Bible, I would never do what you just did. Never do that, right? Because oftentimes, you know, the translations get a little mixed up, and people just take off running with something, and it's not even there. So this is why, another reason for me, like, I like to find where the prophet actually taught doing that too, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Not just culture. Right. Amen. 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 Because culture can get you all messed up. Yeah. Let's find out what the prophet said to that. And then, you know, the other thing I'll tell you is that being an American, there are certain things I can see what Brother Branham is saying because it's a part of my culture. I can see he's saying this like, no, that ain't what he mean. What that quote mean at all, right? But God knows all things. But we realize what it is that the Holy Spirit is there to govern and control all of that. Amen. Here, verse 13, here, for by one spirit we're all baptized in one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit, for the body is not one member, but many. But many. Even as a pastor, I got to realize I can't do it all. I can't do it all. And I have to give room for other folk to do things. You got to make room. But for the other members of the body to actually develop, you got to do that. Don't make it all about you. The body is not one member but many. If the foot shall say, behold, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Now, again, Paul was talking about spiritual gifts. And now he's bringing this natural type that we need to understand. You know, just because, you know, God might have given somebody else the gift of tongues, but he gave you the gift of knowledge. He gave you the gift of wisdom, right? You know, he gave you something else. So use what he gave you, but don't get jealous of somebody else that got a different gift. The foot can't get jealous of the hand. You know, as we go through these different parts, you know, just think about it. My hands can do a lot. My hands can do a lot. Let's say I was into a situation, my feet can do a lot too. Feet can carry the body. But let's say if I was in a situation, a dangerous situation, and I didn't realize what was there. But maybe through, if I couldn't see it, but I could hear something right, then based on what I hear, my feet might get the moving to get me out of that situation. Right? Or if I couldn't hear it, but I saw it. Right? Even in a car or whatever, you driving that car, you need all parts of the body working. You need the seeing working. Sometimes you need the hearing working. And then you need the foot to kind of touch the gas or put on the brakes. You need the hands to turn the wheel. This body better be working. We're going to be in some trouble. And trust me, I mean, if you I remember when I was younger, I used to have my music blasting so loud. And there was an emergency vehicle coming up, and I could not hear nothing. All I heard was commission. But I heard this emergency vehicle, and I think what caught my attention was just the flash of lights. Let me turn this down, see what's going, which way they're going. They could be going up my house, and I got them blocked. Right? So here, the thing of it is we need every part of the body. And I'm going to tell you, you know, I've been in situations where you've been in those almost accidents. You better be glad that the hands were able to coordinate with the eyes and the feet. That everything was able to coordinate all together and not be mad at each other. How come I couldn't see you? You didn't need to see it. You just need to press the brakes. And you were designed to press brakes. Here the scripture tells us, verse 16, and if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? So again, keep in mind what Paul is telling us, is go back to the spiritual gifts. You can't be jealous of the different gifts. Each one is needed. Each one is needed, just like each member of our body is needed. All right, it goes on here. It says, but now have God set the members, every one of them. Oh, my. It's just beautiful. Now have God set the members. See, when you're baptized by the Holy Ghost into the body, God has set the members. But now have God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased. Here's a problem. Oftentimes we not pleased with where we are, so we try to do something else to put ourselves somewhere else, and it don't fit, right? My hand can't carry me like my feet can. Now I've seen people that, you know, if they were, maybe they lost the use of their feet, and Brother Brandon even talked about how the boy was coming up in the bread line on his hands. Their hands actually get strong enough to be able to carry that body. Right? But that's not the way God designed it. Here, it goes on and says, verse 18, but now have God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased him, and if they were all one member, where were the body? Where's the rest of the body? If we all eyes, if we all hands, we all feet, where's the rest of the body? It's an incomplete body. What we got to do is find out what part God wants us to play. And when you find your position, do it well. Let's keep going. The eye, I'm sorry, verse 20, is that, but now are they many members? Yet, but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. That means don't let nobody put you down for the part that you play in the body. Tell them, I've been baptized into this, I'm in it. Baptized by the Holy Ghost, so I'm not going to let you put me down because I haven't been called to be an eye. Amen. My eye can, just through what comes, you know, if it's an accident, it's about approach, my eye can see that there's danger. That eye can send a signal to the brain, and I mean, less than seconds, the brain will send another signal to the feet. Stop. Or maybe not mean to turn that wheel, too. Right? You get all that happened just in nanoseconds, right? But it all has to work together like that. Here it says, verse, and I cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Name much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble, unnecessary. Now that is a deeper conversation. But there's parts of you that I cannot see that are extremely important. If they weren't working, we have some real trouble in the body. I was talking to a friend of mine just last week, and he was telling me he had this major surgery, and after the surgery, you know, he was getting dressed to go home, and somehow got delayed. And he just called his daughter and said, "Hey, I'll be ready by an hour. Go do such and such and come get me." And he went to take a shower, and when he was going to take a shower, he said, just all of a sudden, his blood is, you know, coming out from everywhere. He just, they couldn't figure out what was going on with this man. So he happened to be at the hospital, and they finally realized inside his body was a, I think it was a nerve that had been damaged some kind of way. And the nerve, the damaged nerve, was creating all of this other reaction in the body. A one little nerve. And they had to actually go and kind of sew it back together some kind of way, but just something so small. It's inside, and nobody can really see. Sometimes, you know, you don't pick up on things like that. We try to make sure that the nerves are well. It's just every little piece of body. When God designed this body, it was a masterpiece that he designed. Amen. But each and every aspect of it is important. Every part of the body is important. We need everybody to realize. There's some people, you know, Brother Brandon told a story about going to the meeting. We would call Brother Brandon the eyes of the body. Mm-hmm. As a prophet, he could see things.
Right.
Go there and preach the word of God from what he sees in Scripture. Mm-hmm. And then after he preaches what he sees in Scripture, then he's, you know, the spirit of discernment is coming. And people are coming through and being prayed for. Spirit of the healing is there. Miracles, working miracles. All these different manifestations are taking place right there. And then at the end of all this, Brother Randall said, you know who get the credit for the meeting? Pull the curtain. It's the hidden part of the body.
That's right. That's
that was getting great. Credit for the meeting. He said, these people back here that's been praying
that's right.
for the meeting that nobody knew was back here praying until I just exposed them. It's the hidden part of the body that's extremely important.
Amen.
Let's keep going. Nay, much more of those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncommon parts have more abundant commonness. For our commonly parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. And there should be no schism in the body. But that the members should have the same care one for the other. Now remember, you know, last week we were just, for the last 2 weeks, we were talking about endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit and the mind of peace. All that's flowing right together to this. Amen. Right? Recognizing, no, we're all part of the same body. We all been baptized in the same body. We shouldn't be pulling away from one another. We should be trying to work together. Hallelujah. The mystical body of Christ should try to work together, not pull away from one another. Look at this, especially when it comes to the things of God. It says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. You know, I don't know about you, but if you don't see people in church for a little while, you should feel that. Mm-hmm. You should feel it. Right? Man, I ain't seeing so-and-so. Let me come over and see what's going on.
Right.
Check on them. Mm-hmm. Text them. Do something. Don't just leave it up to the pastor and then don't do this. Now, you don't call them, check them. They tell you what's really going on. But then you come and tell the pastor, have you called so-and-so? No, I haven't. You need to call them. Okay. Now, why are you telling me I need to call them? What is it that you know that they probably not going to tell me? That's how you help the body. Amen? Right? So here, you know, we all got to feel that together. It says that whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, and or one member be honored, all the members rejoice.
Amen.
With it. So you get a blessing.
Oh yes.
I'm rejoicing with you.
Amen.
I ain't looking at your blessing like, with covetousness. And I'm going to get me one too. Because you know, sometimes as members of the body, we like to have our name called over the pulpit. We like to be our name, you know, we like this, that, to happen. Don't be like that. When your season come, walk in your season.
Amen.
But when another member of the body have their season, rejoice with it. Hallelujah. All right, look at this. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. Now look at how Paul comes right back out of just using all these natural things just with the physical body. Now he's bringing it back to the spiritual. He started spiritual, went natural, now he's coming back to the spiritual. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. Oh my. So just like God designed the body to have some hands, feet, some ears, some eyes, the tongue, the nose, smelling. Amen. Some of y'all probably appreciate y'all nose. Your eye would say, man, that looked real good. That looked real good. That, man, that looked good. And then your nose say, uh-uh. Your nose tell you, no, uh-uh, you may not do that. Praise the Lord. You appreciate your nose. Right? But as he was just saying with all these natural things here that we have, now he's bringing it back to the spiritual because this is the way it has to work within the spirit. And we need to understand, God gave me my two hands for a reason. He gave me, even when you look at the hand, I always talk about this. And, you know, that hand, this one thumb is out there all by itself. All the other things, they're connected, close together. Thumb is so small. Just, it looks strange. But when you go to do something like this, that's when the thumb, because see, the thumb locks it in. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
If I just try to hold it like that, it's going to fall. But that thumb come back around and just lock it in.
Yes.
See, there's a time and a purpose that is going to be needed. That God designed it for a reason. But understanding this, that just like God designed these different parts of your physical body, spiritually he has designed certain things. And we got to understand, it's God that does this. God has set some in the church. God put them there. And I'm going to tell you, if God has set you in the church for a very specific role, you don't have to worry. Your gift going to make room for itself. It always will. Watch this. Let's keep going. It says, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly, teaches. After that, miracles. And if we can just stop there, I can go, I'm telling you, these are sermons all by itself. But, you know, an apostle is one that is, Brother Randall said, a missionary, going to establish churches everywhere. A prophet, one that got the ability to be able to see the word of God and bring it to us and present it to us that, you know, maybe others didn't see the scripture like that. And then a teacher's going to kind of go right behind what that prophet is saying. Amen. Now, what we get happening in the church oftentimes, because he says after that. So after, you know, this first apostle, this prophet, thirdly teacher, these are people that's dealing with the word. And what comes after the word? Miracles. But you know what the problem is? We have a lot of people trying to put the miracles before the word.
Yes.
We can't do it that way. We appreciate gifts. Yeah, we welcome them. Yes. But it's got to be in line. Don't try to use your gift to run the church.
Oh my.
I'm gonna tell you, I know why some people don't come to Spirit and Truth Tabernacle.
Yeah.
I know why. Because this is a church that's established by the word. And we do want gifts in the church, but we're not going to let gifts dictate and dominate. Not like that.
Amen. Yes, I believe in dreams. I believe in visions. I believe in all that. But if it don't line up with the word, I ain't standing up saying nothing about it. I got to see that thing connected with the word. Oftentimes you see me, especially when we went through that series of the seven junctions, there were certain dreams that came, you know, right in the same season.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Right.
And I mean, like I told y'all, I had a dream about getting keys to the church. And Brother Quentin, I wasn't going to say nothing. I went and told Brother Quentin, "Brother, I had this dream that you told me. It's all done, Pastor. Here go the keys." He said, I had the same dream. I said, "Well, you know what? I'm reading the scripture that old men gonna dream dreams.
Yes.
That's me and you, brother. We're just manifesting the scripture." Brother Smiley had a dream by getting over Virgo, and it worked. Virgo, right? And it worked. I mean, God showed him something. So see, I guess I believe in that, but these are not the things that's going to dominate the church. It's going to be the teaching word. Of this word.
Right.
Yes,
yes.
That's right.
I'm not an apostle. I'm not a prophet. But I believe God called me to teach that word. And the teaching going to come before the miracles.
Right.
See, bake me a cake. That means you had to be obedient to the word first before you actually saw a miracle. Let's keep reading. Thirdly, teaches after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps. Brother Paul preached that. I want to go back and listen to the sermon again. Helps. There are some people in this church that's called to be a help. And we can't do it without him. I mean, just this. That's a help. That's a help to ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. Right? I look at, Lord, I'm gonna just finish this and I'm gonna be done for tonight. But I even look at the pantry, just the way things are set up. And what everybody's strengths are. Sister Tina is the one managing the whole thing. She places the orders and all of that, and you know, gets the food there and makes sure the paperwork and everything filled out. Sister Michelle just so bubbly that she stands there and she talks to everybody and God bless you, and, you know, and she just, you know, always getting their name, getting all the information. Just, you know, she just does what she do. I watch Sister Mandel. She comes. She just get involved in anything and everything, right? Use the brothers. They out there taking either building boxes or they taking boxes out there, you know, to the car. I watch Sister Virginia after everything over. She had that thing set up for next week.
Yes.
All right, just she got that hug. Her gift is to organize it all.
Yes.
Everybody, get out the way. I got this.
Yes.
Sister Cobb gonna get you some boxes. Track folk down and get boxes.
Yes. Yes.
Everybody find their place.
Yes.
And when everybody working in harmony, it just goes just right.
Yes.
This is scripture says gifts of healings, helps. Governments, diversities of tongues. When I read that years ago, I'll tell you what the Lord spoke in my heart is that we would have a church that would be multicultural. That's what diversities of tongues. And see, and the people won't be governed by their culture, they'll be governed by the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Are workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gift, and yet show I unto you a more excellent one. So we all do the same thing. We benefit from what each other does, just as the body benefits from all the different functions of the different parts of the body.
We thank God for each one in place. We thank God for it. And I tell you, let's do all we can to remain one. And remember, endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body, one spirit, even as you're called and one hope for your calling. There's a few other scriptures that I want to read. I won't have time to get it tonight. We'll come back and pick up here next week. And you know, but I tell you, I'm just enjoying this as I go through it. I think it's so important for the church in this season. Let's surrender ourselves to the Spirit of God. Allow Him to get glory out of whatever He's called us to do as individuals. We just want to bring glory to Him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, the Word is perfect. It helps us, God, to see ourselves, to align ourselves appropriately. Lord, don't let these words that we're hearing when we come in here for Bible study, don't let these words just be idle words. But God, we strive to be a church like this, a church that's walking in unity, a church where each one understands their position. There's no schism, there's no jealousy, there's no competing. It's just believers, oh God, that's loving you and loving each other. That's the type of church we want to be. Jesus prayed the prayer, Father, make us one. And Lord, we want to be one with this word. That's our desire. We become one with the word. Baptized into the body by the Spirit of God. And we're led by Christ. He is our head. So I trust, oh God, that this would just be something, Lord, that would just cause us to do a reflection, inventory, and each one of us, Lord, from me in the pulpit going all the way down, help me to, Lord, endeavor to keep this unity. Fight for it. Bend over backwards. Help me, God. Help us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's just get the announcements there. Was there a birthday this week that was it announced on Sunday? There's a birthday that was announced. Brother Quentin's birthday coming up.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Please greet us, Brother Quentin. I think it's Friday. Happy birthday, Brother Quentin. Those that were watching us online. I just got a note saying that our internet connection was very spotty and was going in and out today. We do apologize. Sorry for that. Pray for us. We're trying to get our own little something. And hopefully it'll be a little bit more stable, but keep us in prayer. We do apologize. Don't forget, we'll be back here Sunday morning at 9 o'clock for prayer, and then the service was 9 to 10 for prayer, and then the service will start at 10:30. And as far as our giving, the desire to give to two methods that we have online, that is through Cash App or through PayPal. You can actually get to the PayPal information there on the church website. Or we have an app that you can use, you can download, and it's called My Church App. When you download My Church App, you just find the Church Spirit and Truth Tabernacle, and then there's a way for you to give there as well. If you have PayPal directly, just choose give to a friend or family member, and
and the email address that you'll use for that friend and family member's giving at $1,234. You want to use Cash App, it's gonna be $SpiritAndTruthT. That's how you reach us through Cash App. And also we have a P.O. box there at the bottom of the screen if you desire just to mail your offering in. Those that want to use the box that are here, certainly can feel free to do that on Sundays, like we asked before, because of our time constraints. We actually put your offering in as you're coming into the sanctuary, and then we'll get a check once we pray over. The brothers will take the box and they'll do what they need to do in order for us to be able to continue to meet our time constraints. So we do appreciate all that everybody's doing, and just trust that the Lord will bless you in that. Did anybody have any special prayer requests that we want to mention tonight before we close out? Anybody have anything special? Any prayer? Yes, sir.
Brother Joseph Murphy, the mother, has got a really bad headache. I prayed over it. And then in the bathroom, but we all prayed together and just asked God to bring him back to his normal state.
All right. We sure will. We sure will. We sure will. Anybody else? Yes.
My sister Ashley is asking for prayer for her dentist.
Well, let's just bow in a word of prayer. And we just take these requests before the throne of God. Father, we just want to remember our precious brother Joseph in the attack of his body, but yet pressed out to the house of God, and we just appreciate that. And ask that you would just reverse whatever it is that is coming upon him. We cast it down. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you told us, according to your word, lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That's what you say, oh God. So whatever it is that's coming against our brother, we condemn it right now in Jesus' name. And in between him as a patient and whatever the condition is, we place the blood of the Lord Jesus. We also send the word, God, to the dentist mother who is ill, Sister Ashley's dentist, oh God, and Father, for him to share with Sister Ashley and her to share with the mom, Lord, we can take it before the throne of God, stand in the gap for this lady. We don't know what the condition is, but we know that you are God, and you design the body. You say it's your will for us to be in good health and to prosper, even as our soul prospers. So we send the word to her that you are the God that healeth all of our diseases. There's none that you can't take care of. So we trust that you, God, will just bring glory and honor to yourself through the situation. As we prepare, God, to leave tonight, we pray you go before us, that you bless our going out, that you bless our coming in. Bless the giving tonight as the saints give, Lord. Just ask that you use it for the furtherance of your kingdom here on earth. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. So don't forget, church, please keep the Sister Lewis, Solomon, Sister Sherelle in prayer. They'll be burying their, Sister Lewis's mother and Brother Solomon, Sister Sherelle, their grandmother. We're burying her this Saturday, so please keep the family in prayer, that God will just strengthen them through this time. And if you desire to go and just attend the service, I do have information that I can give you. Just you can reach out to me or Sister Erica, and we'll make sure you get the information. But we want to just keep them in our prayers. Amen. And God will just help them during this time. Amen. All right. God bless you. Brothers, we come at this time to dismiss you. God bless you to those that have joined us online this morning.